It's 407, 50 degrees in Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO, Jeremy Lawrence Show. That would mean I'm Jeremy Lawrence. Let me double check. Yes, I am. Okay, I need to make sure. And with me, as always, the indubitably producing producer. I'm trying to come up with new titles every day, and it's just not working. Here he is.
Hi, I'm Michael.
There you go. Okay. Okay. Anyway, what else can you say? Well, we've talked about some rather windy topics earlier, so if you still want to comment on those, you're welcome to do so at 803-73 or give us a call, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. But we also did want to talk about some other things. Wanted to talk a little bit about Mark Schauer just came out with his educational prerogatives. Basically said that education would be their top economic priority. Now, they also said that top priority was going to be roads, so apparently he's going to be able to focus on some other things, which is good. You need somebody that's going to be a multitasker,
yes,
in the position of governor. Now, as he digs through all of these plans, talks about a plan to take care of K-12 schools, says that he doesn't believe that cyber school expansion is a good idea, has called the Education Achievement Authority a drain and a failed experiment, and said, well, here's what we need to do. We need to conduct an adequacy study to examine educational costs and determine how much money is necessary to educate students. And this is something that was actually part of a Democratic proposal that was in the State House last September. And he said, once we get the study through, once we know what it says, then we're going to modify the state per pupil school funding formula and ensure that special ed and at-risk students are fully funded. That's part of the plan. Says that there may be some changes to Proposal A as a part of this, but as usual, when Mark Schauer was asked, well, what kind of changes are you talking about to that, he says they wouldn't talk about specific changes. But you know what? The study is going to help identify where the changes are necessary. That's basically saying, we want better education, great schools, that kind of thing. Well, we all do. But once again, you're seeing the same thing from Mark Schauer running for governor saying, we want to do this. We want to be able to help schools. We want to be able to take care of this. But I'm not going to tell you how we're going to fund it. I guess we're going to do it with fairy dust. I don't know. That's the only thing I can figure. But and you dig into this, one of the things that the Schauer plan calls for is reversing the $1 billion cut to education under the Snyder administration. Well, we're taking some of this. MLive looked into this a little bit and talked about, is that true that $1 billion were cut under the Snyder administration? And they did the fact check of that and found that funding, well, it did decrease under Governor Snyder's first budget. That coincided with the loss of some federal funding, and the state has increased the school aid budget the last couple of years. So, I guess, and there's the thing. For both sides, you can say, well, you hear Governor Snyder say, well, we've increased education funding. Okay, but you also decreased it first. Then you increased it. And on the Democratic side, well, he's cut $1 billion from this. Well, not quite. So there's the fact-checking on that. And, both sides are taking a task on that because you hear it from both sides. Well, Republicans have cut education. And Republicans are saying, no, we increased funding for education. And the funny thing is, at the basest level, both of them are right. And I know, it makes me scratch my head, too. You sit here and go, what?
Yeah.
How can both be right? It's politics. That's how they do it. It ends up being right somehow.
Yeah, one of them's going to claim it's right.
But here's the thing. If he's saying, well, he cut it in his first budget, then he doesn't tell the whole story, but he increased it since that time. Well, you know what? We've increased the cost of education. We've increased per pupil spending. Okay, maybe, but you cut it before you did that. So really, the facts are a bit more complex once you dig into it. But getting back to Mark Schauer's plan, I mean, talks about this, and that's all fine and good. Let's talk about schools. Let's talk about education. Let's talk about teaching our children and doing things in a way that works. But, you know, when you don't get into details and say, all right, here's what we really would like to do, and here's how we're going to dig into this so that we know how to fund it. Because I think that's the key, no matter whether you're talking about Mark Schauer or Rick Snyder, if they come out and say, all right, I want to do this, what I want to hear is, great, how are you going to do it? How do you plan on paying for these things? And that's the big question that should be asked of anybody that is running for high office. If you've got a plan, great. Can we see the plan? Can we see the details of the plan? And how are you going to pay for it? And I think those are some good questions. And in this case, Mark Schauer comes out and says, all right, well, you know what? We're going to make sure that it's a top economic priority to take care of our schools. We're going to do this. We're going to take care of this. And you know what? We really don't have any idea how we're going to do it or what we're going to, but we got this study that we're going to do that'll tell us what to do. Okay, well, I'll buy the study thing a little bit because it makes sense to know what you're doing before you step in and spend money on it. I don't want you throwing money at something and just that's that. But have some idea of how things are going to get better and have some idea of where the money is going to come from to be able to make things happen. One of the things they talk about Proposal A. It was a 1994 law that eliminated property taxes as the primary source for school funding and a state sales tax. Part of that was earmarked for a portion for some of the school funding. So to be able to say, all right, we're going to have to make some modifications to school funding, what does that mean? Does that mean higher taxes? And I think this is the thing that Mark Schauer always gets caught up in, is we've got these great, wonderful ideas, but what we're going to do is, and that's how we're going to fund it. You don't hear him coming along and saying, you know what? We've got these things to do, and they're great things to do, and we're going to have to make some hard choices. Because the bottom line is that's what it is. If you start looking into it and saying, all right, well, we want to increase spending on this kind of student and that kind of student, great. That's terrific, but the money has to come from somewhere, and you can't have the money come from somewhere by going, well, we'll have to make some changes over here, and that's how we'll get it done. Because I think most free-thinking people are going to say, well, wait a minute. Okay, you want to make changes to the way that it's funded. You want to increase your investment in it. But there's the whole thing. Increased investment can be translated to higher taxes. Because where else are you going to get the money? Now, some people would say, well, you know, we've got this surplus that happened, and then this budget year and the next, we're going to have a surplus. But you know what? A lot of that money is one-time money. You can't sit there and say, okay, we're going to take that money and spend it on, and we talked about this the other day, spend it on roads, or take that money and we'll spend it on education. If it's one-time money and it's going away after this year, you're basically taking whatever you decided to spend the money on and slapping a Band-Aid on it. Because it's not a permanent solution. So you can't necessarily say, well, we'll take this money that we've got, this excess money, because that's not the full story. If only some of it is recurring, then only some of it solves the perceived problem. And I think when you start looking at education, one of the things that, and I've got to take some difference with Mark Schauer on this, he says that, you know, cyber school expansion is a bad thing. I guess I kind of have to look at this and say, well, wait a minute. What century are we living in? This is the 21st century. Cyber schooling is out there, and it's going to become bigger as we go along. People can go to college without leaving their den or leaving wherever it is their computer is sitting.
Yeah, some people don't have the time to go, you know, to a place like Western, KVCC, mm-hmm. you know, go on campus and take classes. They can take classes online at their own leisurely pace.
Exactly, exactly. And you've got, you know, certainly, and I've heard of some of them, but, you know, a lot of universities and colleges will have online programs for anything from getting your associate's degree all the way to getting a master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I checked into it at one point, thinking about, oh, master's degree, that might be interesting. That stuff's out there. And to say, well, you know, we're not going to do cyber schooling expansion, that's a bad idea. No, it's a very good idea. And here's the other thing. Okay, if we're talking about K through 12 and cyber schooling, that's not a bad idea either. Because having alternatives there for parents to be able to say, you know what, it's not convenient to be able to take my kid to school every day, but if we've got this online and we've got this reliable connection to be able to do it, why not? Why not have it right there at your fingertips? And as a parent, you can say, all right, you can look over your kid's shoulder one-on-one and say, okay, you getting the work done? Are you doing it? I don't have a problem with that. I think cyber school expansion is a good idea. But I think the ultimate thing of saying, well, we need to study this and then we'll know and then we'll figure out and funding and then it'll be the way that it needs to be. You got to do better than that. You have to do better than that. And I would think Mark Schauer, having held political office before, that he knows that he has to do better than this. To be able to come out and say, well, we want education to be one of our priorities. Great. That's not an unpopular idea. Because who's going to say, you know, and if we just said show of hands right now among people listening to this program, I'm for a bad education. Crickets at this point, because who's going to say they're for a bad education? But I think there's two things you look at here. You look at, all right, is the funding doing the job? Because are schools getting better as we fund them more, or are they getting worse? And if the answer is they're getting worse, then more money is not the solution. There are other things that are a solution. I guess I'm really surprised. I shouldn't be. But I'm really surprised that someone who is a serious candidate for governor is going to come out with with plans that basically look like a wish list. You know, I wish we could do better education. So do I. Mr. Schauer, I'm on board with that. Let's make sure we're teaching our kids better. What are your ideas? Well, yeah, the more money and change in funding and that kind of thing. Well, what kind of changes are you? Well, we're not talking specifically about that. When are we going to talk specifically about that? Are we going to talk about it sometime before the election? Or are we going to talk about it after you already get elected? Are we going to have to wait until you get voted in before we hear what you think needs to happen with this specifically? And I'm talking about not just the ideas of, well, let's make education better. Oh, that's cool. All right, what ways are you talking about? What things would you look at that would teach kids in schools better? And if you're talking about more funding per student, okay, whatever. That's fine. But let's figure out a couple of things. First of all, is more money per student the answer? If you have more money per student, does that mean that you're going to get a better education? Does it or doesn't it? You know, because, I mean, here's the thing. Some schools take, oh, more money per student. Would they pour that into school supplies, or would they pour that into, well, we need to buy nicer chairs because our five-year-old chairs are not as nice as these things I'm seeing in the catalog over here. Hand that IKEA catalog over here. Ooh, yes, those.
we got to get more gym equipment or something along lines.
Or let's get newer tables or something like that, because, you know, these three-year-old tables that we're eating on when we go into the cafeteria are not quite as nice as these over here. You know, is it that kind of spending, or is it spending where you're buying the supplies and you're spending the time and the income for teachers and that kind of thing to be able to teach these students? Okay, great. If you're spending it on that legitimately, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But let's measure to see whether that's effective. And here's the other thing. The bottom line for every idea that comes out of any politician's mouth, how are we going to pay for it? And that's the thing you need to ask. And I'm not just asking this of Mark Schauer and Democratic candidates, but you know what? If I hear Rick Snyder come out with a plan and say, all right, we want to do this and this and this, great, Governor, how are we going to pay for it? What are we going to do to be able to pay for that plan? And I think it's a legitimate question to ask anybody that is running for office and wanting to be able to say, here's my plan for things. Now, you can give us a call and tell us what you think about it. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or 80373. You can text us and give us your comments as well. We'll get into this here in just a little bit, but right now we'll take a timeout for traffic. Michael, you've got something for us.
Yes, this just came in from a texter. Southbound construction on Portage Road has begun. Delays from I-94 to Milam Road can be expected through June.
Okay, so there you go. There's going to be some sustained delays in that particular area, so be aware of that. Now, we're going to continue talking education, and we're going to talk about it with you as you call in. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. As the program, Jeremy Lawrence Show, continues on 590 WKZO. Degrees in Kalamazoo. It is 4:27. Jeremy Lawrence with you on 590 WKZO. This portion of the program brought to you by Bronson, where everything they do is about getting better. That's Bronson Positivity. Learn more at bronsonhealth.com. Been talking education and taking your phone calls and your comments as well. And let's go to the phones right now where David has been standing by. David, thanks for waiting. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Jeremy. Actually, I wish you would have grabbed me on the other end because I could go on for a little, but I'll start it by saying there's tons of studies that prove just because you throw more money per student does not guarantee better results. And as a matter of fact, I was terminated as a substitute teacher in the Grand Rapids and Kentwood Public Schools for one main reason, Jeremy. I had the audacity as a sub to enforce rules. I threw kids out for cheating, answering roll for other people. I got complaints against me because I told kids to pull their pants up, remove their hat. And one, I got a complaint against me because I corrected a girl in grammar class who said she wanted to ask me a question. And I later found out they said I was not privy to her socioeconomic upbringing, and therefore it was not my place to correct her. This is what liberalism has done. It stinks. They have no business running the educational system, and they, up here in West Michigan in particular, the NHA, National Heritage Academies, do a phenomenal job with the charter schools here, and they only get one half to three quarters of the funding, yet with less money, they produce 10 times, seemingly 10 times the results of the local public schools. They absolutely make, and they hold bad teachers accountable. You can't be a bad teacher and hang around there. But that's something, a novice idea that liberalism and academia don't want to ever get into, holding terrible teachers accountable. And it's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
And okay. Well, it sounds like you've got an insider's perspective, having been a substitute for at least a little while.
Right. And in fact, Jeremy, if you want to hear the absolute hysterical thing, there was a teacher at one of the worst schools on the planet, Ottawa Hills, who had me administer an open book, open note, embrace yourself, an open collaboration test. An open collaboration test, and she asked me, to, hey, please give me your feedback, sub, you know, on your experience. And I said, this is a great idea in theory. Why don't you combine it with your teacher planning hour? have a nice long two-martini lunch, give everybody an A, and don't sweat it. I mean, this is what liberalism has done. And I later would find out she was making approximately $90,000 to $95,000 plus another $30,000 to $35,000 in benefits. And here as a sub, I was making $70,000 to $80,000 a day, at will employment, no benefits. And yet I had the audacity to say the emperor's not wearing any clothes. So let's attack the messenger and not the message.
Okay. I got to get to the news right now, but David, I appreciate your input on this. We'll keep talking.
No problem.
We'll keep talking education and take your phone calls as we continue ahead. .438, 50 degrees at Kalamazoo, 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence here with you in the afternoon. We've been talking about one of the things Mark Schauer has talked about is his education plan. And he went through and talked about that, you know, this needs to be a top economic priority. And he did say that he didn't like the EAA, the Educational Achievement Authority. Don't know much about that one personally, but he also said cyber school expansion as well, called that a failed experiment. I do have to take issue with that particular thing because I think cyber schooling, that is probably more than we realize the wave of the future,
mm-hmm.
really. And I think, you know, we need to be at the forefront of that. But then you start talking about, well, how are we going to do this? Well, you know, adequacy study and find out how much to spend and more per pupil and change the way that we fund and blah, 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 blah. But I'm not going to tell you how specifically that I'm doing that. That's what the man running for governor for the Democrats said. He says, yeah, I really don't. I'm not here to talk specifics or anything. I'm just talking about, oh, here's the you know, this goal, better schools. Well, that sounds nice, but what are you going to do? We've been talking about that and taking your phone calls and your texts. And by the way, the phone lines are open for you at 382-4280 and 877-382-4280. We've got a couple of phone lines open. Plus, 803-73, if you'd like to text us your comments, if you just can't wait on the line, I would love to have you there. In fact, someone did text earlier, and they said, Michigan is number one in teacher pay and number 46 in testing. Average states spend 15% on administration, while Michigan spends 42% on administration. More money is not the answer. That was from a texter that sent us a message. You can do that, 803-73, or you can give us a call at 382-4280 and join us, just like Jeremy's doing in Portage. Hi, Jeremy. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Jeremy. How you doing?
Doing well.
Just had a few comments. I guess I'll preface it by saying that I teach at Western, so I'm pretty ingrained in, I guess, higher education.
Okay.
And I think the previous caller was on point with, you know, there's a lot of bad teachers out there, just like there's a lot of bad professors, even at universities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way they get there is the tenure process. I think I'm on tenure track at Western, and I'd be the first one to admit that I think if we got rid of tenure, I think that would eliminate a lot of the bad teachers and a lot of the bad professors out there and just make it more performance-based because the way it goes right now, you know, if I, whatever I do, I get the 1% raise that the union carves out. And it doesn't matter how good I am in the classroom or what I do outside the classroom. And I think the other things you need to look at is you could throw a bunch of money at it, but it's not going to change anything if the teacher's not very good. And then you also have to put it on the students, too, because the students have to be wanting to learn. If the student doesn't want to learn at all, there's nothing even a really good teacher could do about it. And then if the student's parents aren't really engaged in their kid's education, then you're really stuck. A really good teacher is going to engage. You know, there's going to be students that want to learn no matter what, so they're going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And then the students that are just kind of there and just showing up, if you have a really good teacher, a lot of times you can get them to engage and actually get them learning. But there's always going to be those few that just, no matter what you do, they just don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think throwing money at schools is really going to solve anything. It's those three areas. You need a good teacher, engaged students, and then, you know, an engaged support structure or family around it. If you have all those three things, then it's great. And you can do that at a poor school district or a rich one. It doesn't really matter.
The tough part is getting that support structure in place because, you know, I mean, you can have good teachers, and you can focus on that and get the best ones in there. And you can even engage students and get maybe a majority of them in there. But if they don't have that support structure behind them, I mean, that's another entire issue. I'm not sure what answer is to that.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is to that either. And I only see it at my end. You know, I see the product coming out of the public schools and kids that come out of private schools or the charter schools. And you can, sometimes you can tell the difference, public versus the other schools. But, you know, it all boils down to, it comes down to the student. If they really want to learn, then they're going to do it, and they're going to excel in it. And there's, even in the program I teach, is very specific and highly technical. Occasionally we get some students that just aren't engaged in it, and it's hard to get them to get engaged in the program. So sometimes it just all boils down to the student if they really want to learn or not.
Okay. Jeremy, thanks for calling in. I appreciate your input.
Sure. Thank you.
He brought up an interesting point, the idea of, a lot of teachers that are on tenure track, and you hear about this all the time. You know, once you've got tenure, you're there, you're in, and that kind of thing. It takes me back to, and I can remember this specifically, my days in high school, we had the health teacher that believed that the way to teach class was with a television and a VCR. And, you know, it was back in the days of, you know, VHS and the whole bit. So basically, mm-hmm. you know, you'd go in there, sit down, it's time for class. Okay, the lights turn off, here goes the tape, here it goes. And I could tell you what most of us in the class did. We either slept, did homework for other classes, or goofed off. There really wasn't much learning going on there. And, you know, it's a sad statement, but then I think it was the next year, and I didn't have him by that time. But this particular teacher found out that, guess what, we're going to have evaluators come in. And they're going to evaluate each teacher, and they're going to evaluate each area, how we can improve, and the things that we can do to teach students better. You know what he did?
What did he do?
He shoved the cart with the television and the VCR over in the corner, and he taught class for 3 days. He actually stepped up and taught people about his subject matter. The evaluators are there looking on the whole bit. So, I mean, the whole point is, if someone is watching teachers and saying, all right, we're going to watch you, we're going to see how you perform, we're going to see how you do it, we're going to see what kind of outcomes you have, whether you've engaged students, and then find ways to either improve on your performance, or if there's just no way to do it, find someone who can do it a little bit better. And in that case, you saw him respond. It was like, oh, evaluators are coming, I'm going to teach. You know, and not every teacher is like that. I mean, there's going to be people that would say, well, there's some good teachers out there, and, you know, that you can't really tell just by testing and all of that. Okay, I got it. I'm with you on that. But the other side of that is there's an awful lot of teachers out there that just aren't teaching, aren't engaged. And, you know, if you hear, I mean, we had that caller earlier, this former substitute teacher that was challenged because he actually insisted that students step up and learn something in his class and speak correctly, speak correct English, and, you know, grammar and different things like that, and being ready when you walk in the classroom. It's something that I can remember when I was a student. I was a student in the public schools, but you know what? If I would have said to the teacher, I want to ask you something, I would have gotten a lecture. And it would have been right on the money. But no, I mean, you've got to insist that students walk in, doesn't matter their background, doesn't matter this, that, or the other, you've got to insist on high standards. And you've got to insist on not only high standards for the students, but high standards for the teachers. That doesn't necessarily mean we're going to spend more money on it. That means we're going to expect some accountability for the money we do spend on this. And I think that's the solution to it. It's not just saying, well, let's look at this, see what we're spending, taxes, and then we'll be able to fund more for this wonderful, brilliant plan that I've just not told you about. Because in effect, that's what Mark Schauer did. He came out and didn't tell you that he had a plan for better education. And he just said, oh, better education, and they had funding, and then it'll be better. Okay, well, how are you going to change things up? Well, we still have to study it and figure it out. Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Schauer, go study it yourself and come back and have some ideas. then we can kind of kick him around a little bit and see, wait a minute, is this a guy that we can trust with the highest office in the state? Or is this other guy who's already there doing the job, can we still trust him to do the job? That's what we're faced with in an election. That's what you, and if you're a candidate and you're doing things the right way, you're coming out with the information so voters can make an informed choice instead of coming out with information where you're trying to trick them into voting for you. And I'm not going to say that that's what Mark Schauer is doing, but if you're not coming out with all the information, you're giving voters an incomplete picture and you're doing a disservice to the voters and doing a disservice to yourself as a candidate. And it may sound strong, but I'm going to say that because the bottom line is if you're going to run for something, you've got to be ready. You've got to be prepared. You got to have a plan that you've laid out and say, this is what my plan is. This is what I intend on doing. And then do it. That's what I think is important if you're going to have this kind of thing. It isn't just throw more money at it. It is look at what we're doing already, what does work, what doesn't work. And, you know, to say, all right, well, we could do one of these studies, an adequacy study. Basically, are we funding it adequately? Okay, well, that's fine and good. But what are those funds going towards? What does it do for students? And are we expecting high standards of students when they sit down in the classroom? Are we going to say, you know what? In order to get out of this classroom, you've got to learn this, 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 and this. And if you don't learn those things, well, then you're going to be repeating this class. Are we doing that? Are we expecting high standards of students, of teachers, of school systems? Are we expecting all that? I don't know. An interesting thought. Let's go back to the phones here. We've got Jeff standing by on the line. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Jeremy. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I guess the whole tenure thing, I'm not real big on that. I went to my local school here, and I had some pretty not good teachers, I guess, that were probably tenured, and mm-hmm. had some real good teachers, too. So, I don't know. There's got to be some kind of accountability, no matter what job you do, and there's no free pass. So,
well, and I think that's only fair, Jeff. I mean, think about it. You know, you and I are working in jobs where there are things that we have to do to be able to achieve success, and there are measurables on that. And if we don't, then more is asked of us.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, you need to have the best and brightest to teach our young people. But, now I'm going to hold your feet to the fire a little bit. You know, you talk about all these politicians saying all these things, and I guess what I'd like to hear more from the media is, you know, and I know that, you know, you do a talk show, but mm-hmm. I guess I'd like to hear some of these people come on the radio, be invited or whatever, whether they want to come on or not, and maybe explain some of their positions and, you know, do a little more in-depth. I think that's the one thing that, you know, we're living in a soundbite mentality or a soundbite world right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, nobody gets in-depth anymore. Nobody, you know, there's a few talk shows out there that you know, bring people on and, you know, ask the hard questions. And I think that's really what needs to happen. And I think that, I hate to say it, but the media is doing us disservice, but I really think at this point they are. There's nobody out there, you know, bringing these people on and holding their feet to the fire and forcing them to answer the questions that you talk about on your show every day.
Okay. All right. Well, that's an interesting challenge, and certainly, you know, we've had politicians on this show in the past, and the invitation is open, I would say, to any one of them who wants to come on here and explain a position. Heck, we'll have Mark Schauer on here, and we'll ask him some questions. I would be more than happy to have him here because I want to hear some explanations from this. And, you know, tough questions for anybody that comes on, because the bottom line is that people need to know this stuff. Now,
exactly.
Now there's the thing. If politicians know tough questions are coming, there are some that would still come and say, all right, I'll answer those questions. But there are some that will say, I'm not going to mess with that.
Well, then I guess, you know, you tell them, that you tell your audience that they declined your invitation to, and, you know, maybe they don't have a plan. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But, all right. Well, Jeff, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
great. Thank you.
All right. And we are very near on top of a break. So before we get to that break, one thing we want to do, and we have about 8 minutes left to do it, is give away some tickets. These are tickets to Bears. That's that new Disney Nature movie that's coming out this weekend. It's at Celebration Cinema in Portage. Here's the details. 382-4280 and 877-382-4280 are the phone numbers to give us a call. And you have to be able to answer this dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question that Michael has come up with all on his own.
Yes. The question is, who is the teddy bear named after?
Mm-hmm. Who is the teddy bear named after? All right. If you got the answer for that, give us a call. You'll be able to win those four tickets to go see Bears. This one looks kind of interesting. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Going to wrap up the show as we continue along. One degrees in Kalamazoo, just a little bit breezy right now. Anyway, it's 4:58, 590 WKZO, and Jeremy Lawrence with you. And we did a movie ticket giveaway before the break. And when we did that, we asked a trivia question of the dumb, stupid, ridiculous variety from Michael himself. So, Michael, what was the answer and who won these tickets?
The answer was Theodore Roosevelt.
Which I thought I knew that one. So, yes, okay. And who gets to go see Bears in the theater?
Jim from Goebbels.
All right. So Jim gets to take care of those and enjoy that movie. Four of them, by the way, Jim. I don't know if we mentioned that we had four tickets. So if you're not taking your family, figure it out. You'll be able to take somebody and have a real good time at that. All right. Now, we do have somebody that's on the line, and we want to be able to talk with him. Only just have about a minute or so. So, Jim, welcome to the program, and make your point quickly if you can.
Okay, thank you very much. You talked about accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago when I was on the school board of a Catholic high school, there was great accountability. And all the teachers were saying they loved to teach at there because they did not have a problem with discipline like they did in public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And another point about accountability should start from the top. Like our president and our part-time do-nothing Congress.
Okay. Making a lot of sense, Jim. I don't know. Gosh. Got to stop making so much sense.
Thank you very much. You have
All right. Thanks, Jim. It's going to do it for the program today. You know what? We got Tiger baseball tomorrow, so a shortened show, but we'll be with you. Make sure that you're here.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.